Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad he is a promise keeper? Amen. He promised to take care of me. Our scripture lesson for today is coming from Psalms 30. We want to read into your hearing verses 4 and 5. In this season of praying, we want to lift up our own sister Dora Glover in the passing of her sister. Services are pending in Dallas, but we know what prayer can do. So we pray for our own in this time of bereavement. Psalms 30, verses 4 and 5. By the inspiration of God, by the pen of David, these words are recorded. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We read into your hearing Psalms 30, verses 4 and 5. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. We will simply want to tag this text, Church Home Advantage. Church Home Advantage. As our students and teachers and all those that are responsible for the education of our next generation, we want you to know that you have a church home advantage. That having a church home is to your benefit. A church home is an asset. If you want to live a productive life, you want to live a healthy life, you want to live a life that's filled with civic duty, filled with generosity to those less fortunate than yourself, a life where not only you get, but you know how to give, I come by today to tell you this morning, having a church home is to your advantage. It helps you in this life. I remember growing up, I didn't know nothing about study hall. I did know about fellowship hall. And when mama was in mission, I was in fellowship hall. And we learned how each other, she wasn't alone in her mission meeting. I wasn't alone in the fellowship hall, but we learned how to take advantage of our church home. We would help each other with our homework, or we would do each other's homework. I'm not really sure how it worked out. I wasn't exactly saved at that time. If I can get somebody older just to knock it out, probably was the way I went for it. But having a church home in this world, in this age in which we live, that in the midst of the hustle and bustle, we will stop and call on the name of the Lord. A place where once a week we gather together to lift up his name. Having a church home is an advantage. Here in this text, David has just completed his home, his dwelling place. He's completed the king's palace. But David, like everyone, he wanted to dedicate the palace unto the Lord. He wanted to dedicate his home to the Lord. And when David began to think about all that God had done for him, he left off talking about his home, and all he started talking about was the Lord. Here in this psalm, David give praises to God for what God had done in his life. But I want to point out to you simply in verses 4 and 5, some of advantage that you have in having a church home. In verse 4, he says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his. First advantage you have is his saints. You have the advantage of belonging. Belonging to a people who follow Christ. Simply, you are part of a community that are trying to be better. You're trying to love one another, trying to forgive. I know it's hard sometimes. You know, you work with people and they talk about you, mistreat you, but you come to church, get fueled up on Sunday, and Monday morning you say, I'm going to pray for him one more time. I'm not going to go off this week. I'm going to pray for him. We are his saints. You belong to a people who follow Christ. Saints are simply those who recognize the authority of God in our lives. If you want more detail, please join church and come to our new members orientation. They'll give you a formal education. But I'm just here to give you the basics. Saints are those who recognize the authority of God in our lives. In other words, that's why we accept his work on the cross, because we recognize he has an authority in our lives. That's why we consult him on our plans. We bring him into the meeting when we're thinking about changing jobs. We want to know his opinion about our lifestyle. His opinion matters. You know, until God get a Facebook page and click like, I ain't going to be tripping too much on likes. Can't get caught up in it. Because the one whose opinion matters the most, he don't click on your post. He don't click a heart. He don't click a like. His opinion matters. His power matters. That's why we can call on his name. There is an advantage of belonging. Not only do we see the advantage of belonging to a people who follow Christ, in verse 5, it says his anger. Now his anger points to the boundary, the advantage of boundaries. His anger. You know that you can go this far and no further. You know, when I look out at the ocean, I don't see no wall. I don't see no gate. I don't see no border, but I know I can go so far and no further. I know I can't swim that well. I can't hold my breath that long. I can't drink all that water. I know there is an invisible boundary that I can go just so far. God's anger reminds us that we can go just so far. Listen. When you are a child of God and you are concerned and recognize the authority of God in your life, you'll take a lick in this life just to turn it over to him and let him work it out. His anger, our sin provokes God's anger in our lives. And the reality, all have sinned. And because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all of us provoke his anger. And his anger, for the wages of sin is death. So when God gets angry, his anger destroys. And that's good news. That's good news. That's why you don't take stuff that don't belong to you. That's why you don't disrespect people. That's why you don't break the rules and think you're going to get away with it. No, there is a God, and we don't want to provoke his anger. But because we are his saints, his anger is only for a moment. Listen. When God gets angry with us, when we provoke the anger of God, by the time we realize it, God has already hatched a rescue plan to get us out of it. Whenever we provoke the anger of God, God gets over it in a moment. He didn't say in a second. David didn't say in a minute. David didn't say it take God a week, it take God a month. No, it takes God the least amount of time possible. His anger is only for a moment. We have the advantage of boundaries. See, when I was coming up, you had layers you had to be concerned with. First you had to be concerned with the school level. See, if you got in trouble with one teacher, that teacher gonna tell another teacher, and eventually gonna get to the principal's office, and in the principal's office, mama had a spy in there. She'll bring donuts to the office, she'll bring coffee to the office, so whenever my name came up in that office, she gonna get a phone call. So I had to worry about that layer. Then I had to worry about the church layer. Because the last thing when I was coming up, you wanted to be called to the altar and have the old saint laying hands on you because this week we're going to be praying for Nathan Jr. He's been misbehaving in the third grade class. He haven't been listening to his teacher. Nathan Jr., please come to the front. And then I had to go home. His anger, when you don't want to provoke the anger of our parents, we don't want to provoke the anger of our teachers, we don't want to provoke the anger, that sets boundaries. And when the boundary of God is only for a moment. But notice right at the end of that, David wanted to get off his anger fast. David moved on to his favor. And he says, as a moment is the shortest amount of time, his favor is the life. So we have not only the advantage of belonging, we have the advantage of boundaries, but thirdly, we have the advantage of blessings. Seen and unseen. Because we have his favor. His anger is only but for a moment. But in his favor is life. Which, brothers and sisters, I come by today to tell you, that's all you're going to get. You ain't going to get no more time than life. That's all the time. When they announce our birth date and our passing date, that dash is all the time you got. And all that time, God has favor on your life. Now I know that favor is a bit of Old Testament. In the New Testament, we are into grace. And we're strong about grace. You can't outrun a Christian when it comes to grace. We spell it correct every time. We know how to use it in sentences. We know that we are saved by grace. We know the song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We even know the definition of grace. Grace is God's unmerited. Grace is God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. Nothing you can do to get God's grace. But grace is a type of favor. It is the unmerited type. It is the type of favor that is undeserved. But when you belong to a people that follow Christ, when you stay within the boundaries of Christ, he has favor in your life, whether you deserve it or not. See, sometimes God bless you on credit. He hoping that you will praise him. Sometimes God will bless you and hope you come to church. This time I'm going to get it out. They keep saying if I get them out one more time, they're going to come to Ebenezer. I'm going to get them out one more time and they still ain't came. That's God's favor. In the text, David uses over several times, he talks about you have. He talks about what God has done in his life. He says, you have. This is what you have. In the King James, it says, thou hast. In verse one, he says, you have lifted me up. In verse two, he said, you healed me. Then in verse 3, he said, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me. Then in verse 7, he says, you have made my mountains to stand strong. Then in verse 11, he says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. David says that God has been active in our lives. God has been healing us. God has been delivering us. God has been protecting us. God has been putting people in places that can aid and assist us. God have moving active in our lives. And now I really realize that thou hast and you have may not be your cup of tea. Maybe this is your flavor of tea. God did. Who woke you up this morning? Who started you on your way? God did. Who gave you a portion of health and strength? God did. Who got you through high school? God did. Who got you through college? God did. Who got you through seminary? Who got you that job? Who got you that health? Who got you? Who cared? Who brought you? And David says that we have this advantage. That when I'm faced with mountains, I have an advantage because I have God on my side. And so we know, I don't know what the challenges you're going to face this school year. I don't know what teacher going to be mean to you and which one going to be nice. I don't know who's going to be setting traps for you, who's going to be trying to get you kicked out, get you put off the team. But I know who can protect you. I know who can watch over you. I know who can keep you. I know who can drive off enemies and draw into you friends. I know who can bless you. And so this morning, I simply want the students to know, the teachers to know, parents all to know that you have a church home advantage. May God bless you. And may God keep you this morning. At this time, we want to extend the invitation. You have to belong. That's the advantage. So we invite you to come at the ushers and the deacons come and the greeters come. We want you to know, we invite you to come. Be a part of what God is doing here. And if you're not looking for a church home, we invite you to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. It's in that relationship.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. And sometimes I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. Around for me.
Yes, yes, yes.
Around for me. Around for me. It's turning around for me. Around for me. Around for me. Around for me. It's turning around for me. It won't always be like this. He will perfect what concerning me. And sooner or later, He'll turn in my favor. It's turning around for me. It won't always be like this. It won't always be like this. It won't always be like this. He will perfect what's concerning me. And sooner or later, He'll turn in my favor. And sooner or later, He'll turn in my favor. And sooner or later, He'll turn in my favor. It's turning around for me. It's turning around for me. It's turning around for me.
Amen, amen. Bless you, bless you. He's turning it around. He's turning it around for me.
Good morning, Ebenezer.
Morning.
We have coming on Christian Experience, Dr. Cynthia Cook, and she is the daughter of Brother Joseph Cook. And she said she's been coming to Ebenezer over 20 years, and she just hadn't joined, so I guess she's going to do the homecoming advantage today. So come on in.
Amen, amen. We thank you, Dr. Cook, for coming. Do you have to have, would you like to have words of expression?
Well, not really, but as I was telling Gloria, I have been coming to Ebenezer for over 20 years. I got my PhD at Texas Women's University while I was also coming here on vacation. So there are many people who probably still know me, who remember me, And I've just decided that it's time to join the church. And I just bought a house in Maxwell, so I'm not going any place.
Amen, amen, amen. We are truly grateful for her coming and being a part. And we're not coming to just rest. Come to work. Amen. We're grateful to have you come. Amen. Amen. Sister Avis will take care of you. Amen. Amen. Again, we're grateful for each and every one of you. Don't stop praying for our young people, today. Amen. Let's lift them up, keep them, in our prayers at whatever level, if they in, from daycare to PhD, grad school, and the teachers and all those in between. If nothing else, all hearts and minds are clear, let us stand to be dismissed.